This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
Happy Wednesday to you. North America, the mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour Milky Way Mixer. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Green Bay to Greensboro, Kalamazoo, and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. How's everybody doing today? Thanks so much for joining us. Big show coming up for you. We've got Charles Davis, our good friend from the NFL on Fox. We'll discuss the upcoming weekend in the NFL and also the coaching change in the offensive staff room of the Minnesota Vikings, John DeFilippo. Out, that news broke right after we signed off the air yesterday. And so where do the Vikings go from here, knowing that Kirk Cousins has not been worth the $84 million investment? Charles Davis coming up, top of the third hour. Also, one of the best morning shows sports-wise is NFL Network's Good Morning Football. Host Kay Adams is going to join us. We'll talk some NFL with her as well. Also coming up in the third hour of the show. We've got number 7 for the 12 DAs of Christmas. Number 7 coming your way. It's Career Day. As Mraz sits down with Andrew Bogish and politely advises him what to do in his career to take it to the next level. 12 DAs coming your way in approximately 15 minutes from now. Also, we'll discuss whether holding out Ben Roethlisberger was the final straw for Mike Tomlin. The Seahawks hop-stepping without Richard Sherman and Earl Thomas. Are they better without those guys? And the MLS trophy may have had its best day ever.
Get on top of the guy and they'll do a lap dance.
All of that coming up this morning on the show. And so why not dial me up on any of those comments, any of those questions, any of those concerns and or stories. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. You can always connect with us on Twitter as well. That's easy. DA on CBS. Let's start with that Kirk Cousins, Minnesota Vikings story. Last year, John DeFilippo, quarterback's coach with the Philadelphia Eagles, wins a Super Bowl. That offense obviously made headlines and ended up putting up a number of touchdowns and points and big plays and yards on the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Obviously, even without Carson Wentz, the offense was difficult to handle in the NFC Championship game against the Minnesota Vikings. And so the Philadelphia Eagles, despite losing their MVP quarterback, the offense still cooked when it mattered most. And when you think about that NFC title game at the Link in Philly, here's the Vikings looking across the sideline and going, they got something right there. They lost their starting quarterback, and they're hanging 30, 40 points on us on a bitterly cold night to go to a Super Bowl. You've got the Minnesota Vikings sitting there going, we need that. We need that magic. We need that brain power. We need that brain trust. They tried to get some of that brain trust. They tried to get some of that play calling. They tried to get some of that intuition, inventiveness, innovation by signing John DeFilippo to be their offensive coordinator. Mike Zimmer had never worked with DeFilippo before, but said, you know what, I will take my chance because that guy is a young, hot coaching commodity. In fact, last offseason, DeFilippo was rumored as the next Sean McVay. Here's a young guy, really knows his passing offense, very creative. Look, he's doing it with Nick Foles. Perfect. Let's bring him in here. Zimmer will handle the defense, where they've already got a standout, one of the best defenses in the NFL. You handle the offense. We're signing Kirk Cousins. And this will work out great. And what has happened? The Minnesota Vikings are a 500 team, 6-6-1. They are 0-5 against winning teams this season, and Zimmer and DeFilippo never meshed. Zimmer wants to run the football, play smash-mouth defense. DeFilippo wants to throw the football. Obviously, DeFilippo wins out because they just handed over $84 million guaranteed to Kirk Cousins. So, we're going to throw the football. We also have Stephon Diggs. We have Adam Thielen. You know what? Let's throw the football. Has not worked. They're average. They're mediocre. And against the best competition, the offense is bad. It's not mediocre. It's bad. As we saw on Monday night, nearly shut out. Shut out. So here's the question. That's the tough question. That's the unfortunate question, but it's a real question. John DeFilippo was a hot prospect coaching candidate that felt like he was 1 or 2 years away from being a head coach in the NFL. And today he is fired in season, and Kirk Cousins looks like a disaster of a signing. Did Cousins just ruin DeFilippo's head coaching career? Forget the Vikings season. This is a guy's career. It is where we begin. It is your cold open.
This really wasn't about one guy. This was about a lot of us not holding up our end of the bargain. It was more of a collective thing than anything else. And, you know, it's unfortunate in this business that sometimes, you know, it looks like it was one guy, but it really isn't.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Mike Zimmer yesterday, conference call explaining the firing. I'm not putting this on DeFilippo's plate completely. I think it didn't mesh. I think it didn't work. But I'm not saying that it's all his fault. And I don't think this ends up ruining his coaching career. I think around the NFL, there is more criticism coming in with Cousins than there is with DeFilippo. I think people say DeFilippo's still a good offensive mind. It wasn't a good marriage. But I think there's more scrutiny and more scorn right now on Cousins because at the end of the day, a quarterback has to beat decent competition to be worthy of all of that money. And right now, Cousins is not proving that. And I thought last offseason, when Washington did not retain the services of Cousins, I thought that was the right move because Cousins had only gotten them so far and they weren't good enough to get to the playoffs, win playoff games, be a contender, even had they kept them. So saving money, fine. I had no problem there. I thought bringing in Alex Smith is a lesser version of Cousins, but you save money, so fine. I thought that signing him by the Vikings was a smart move because if you're going to get to the NFC Championship game with Case Keenum, Cousins can only get you there and or a little bit more. Look, I was wrong. I was wrong because Cousins has not been able to even replicate what Keenum did last year. He can't beat a winning team. He's 0-5. Cousins is not. He has not lived up to his end of this bargain. And I think around the NFL, more people are looking at that instead of DeFilippo, and I think DeFilippo is going to be fine. I think Cousins right now has a scarlet letter. And unless he wins some big games down the stretch here, unless he goes into the playoffs and wins some big games, I think that's going to hang on him. And he was better earlier in the season, but as we all know, it only matters what you do down the stretch because you do not win playoff games in September. right now, maybe the Vikings just need a new, fresh set of eyes. But I think what you're going to end up seeing is them going to run the football even more with Dalvin Cook, Latavius Murray, and trying to bleed clock, control the tempo, and be a more ball control offense. And while I understand the thinking there, if you've got a great defense, that is once again a negative mark on Cousins, because what you're saying is we can't win with the quarterback. We've got to win with running the football. If you're hoping for some type of bright silver lining and you're a Vikings fan, I'll give you this. Troy Aikman went to the Hall of Fame and won 3 Super Bowls in a ball control run first offense. So can it happen? It can happen. You can be great even if you have a quarterback that you need to rely on running the football, except it's 25 years ago. And everybody that ever worked with or played with Troy Aikman says he was a cool customer, he was an ultimate leader, and we trusted him. I don't think they say the same thing about Cousins. DeFilippo's out, fresh look at things, that's a good thing, great. But it says something really poor about Cousins at this point in time, that one of the hottest offensive minds in football could get fired midseason because the offense is so bad. And that's how desperate things are. That's how dire things are in Minnesota. They knew coming into the year they were Super Bowl contenders, and right now they're 6-6-1, clinging to the final wild card spot. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. I saw this number. I saw this stat. And I just thought that I had to bring this up because this will blow your mind. We were kind of clowning on Harold Baines getting into the Hall of Fame the other day. I read a piece by longtime baseball columnist John Harper. And he cited reasons why it was so crazy that Baines got into the Hall of Fame. And one of the reasons was Harold Baines' high total on the ballot during his time as a contemporary modern player. He gets in now as part of the Veterans Committee, so he was off the ballot. Do you know what his high votes were? This is a ballot where you have to get 75% of the ballot, 75% of the vote to get into Cooperstown. 75% of the vote. So here's Harold Baines, who had a good career, not a Hall of Fame career. A good career, not a great career. Pete the Body Bellotti, you're a great baseball mind.
Yes, I am.
If you would have asked me this question before I read this piece, my guess would have been Harold Baines topped out at his peak on that ballot at approximately 18 to 20%. What would you have gone with?
I would have gone like 10.
10?
Yeah.
So even less than I... Less credit than I gave him.
Yeah, 10%.
6. The high total Harold Baines got on the ballot was 6%.
Woof.
Can you imagine going from your high point on the ballot being 6% to in the Hall of Fame? I mean, it wasn't like this guy played in the dead ball era. It wasn't like we had to reassess his career from 150 years ago. It wasn't like he played right after the Civil War. He was just playing in the 80s and 90s.
How did that happen?
How did it happen? How could it happen?
How could it happen?
Harold Baines went from 6% of the ballot to in the Hall of Fame.
How could it happen?
How could it happen?
I saw that. I said, this is crazy. I'm not going to spend an entire segment on this, but it's just so crazy. I've got to talk about this. Can you believe putting a guy in the Hall of Fame that topped out at 6% of the vote? Six. The guy topped out on Mraz's IQ on the Hall of Fame ballot and then got in.
How did that happen?
I don't know. Honey, I don't know. Grandma, I don't know. It happened. When we come back here on the show, the 12 DAs of Christmas. It's career day for Andrew Bogish. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
I do love the Da. I do.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Aw, the Da. I love the Da.
Check out full episodes of the Da by simply going to iTunes and searching DA and CBS. Also on our website, daoncbs.com. We're promising you a very healthy PGP this week because Mraz is in no rush to get out for his other duties. Today, it's a long-form permission-granted podcast on where we stand after the holiday party as a unit. Monday got a little greasy over there. And then also where we stand midway through the 12 DAs of Christmas. It's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask a question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Now, it's interesting because you can ask a question at any time. You can ask a question on Twitter, DA on CBS, by calling us, 855-212-4227. But fear not, there is one question by the end of the show that will be sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. So think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service. At O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Rob tweets, DA, this is on Cousins, not DeFilippo. I can see DeFilippo work in Green Bay and haunt the Vikings each year or work with the Jets and Sam Darnold. I think that the rest of the NFL is not concerned about how badly it went this year on the coaching standpoint, which is crazy because, let's face it, there were problems all around. And let's face it, the coach got fired midway through the season, or at least in season. And let's face it, last offseason, DeFilippo was considered the next young, bright head coach in the NFL, and today he's out of a job. But I'm with you. I think around the NFL, this is viewed as a Cousins failure. Because Cousins never won anything of note in Washington. Washington's brass, who have never been confused with a winning organization, did decide, you know what, we're good without him. And then he goes to Minnesota as the final piece, and they're 6-6-1, and every time he plays in prime time or against a winning team, he's bad. And I think that body of work is starting to overshadow what Cousins' successes have been and what his reputation is as a good guy, likable guy inside the locker room, does a lot of homework, well-prepared, but ultimately, when push comes to shove on the field, he's not getting it done. And as I said before, Kirk Cousins is the guy that you trust when you're away on vacation. Can you get my mail? Absolutely. Can you water my plants? No question. Can you take out my dog? You got it. Can you watch the garage or watch the security tape? Sure, no problem. But do you want him planning the vacation? No. No, because you know you just end up at some run-of-the-mill Holiday Inn getting continental breakfast and go to Cheesecake Factory for dinner. You're like, all right, it's fine, but is this really what our vacation is going to be about? Look, everything that you need to know about Cousins is when he said you like that, that was seen as a moment of aggression, of an alpha male coming out. All he said was you like that. Again, the equivalent was said by a woman in sales here to Mraz about a chicken pesto sandwich. Why don't we just hire Caroline Murtaugh out of sales to go quarterback the Vikings at this point?
You like that, big boy.
I mean, honestly, she's more inspirational than Cousins is.
Kurt Cousins.
Let's get to your 12 DAs of Christmas this morning, boys and girls. Number 7.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. The 12 DAs of Christmas to all, and to all, a good night.
Tired of it. Stayed up till midnight, get 5 hours sleep to have my ass handed to me by the freaking Eagles again.
You're actually crying.
These two guys. Let's break some more chairs, guys.
That's unfair.
You know what's unfair? Going after a 98-year-old woman of the church! Of the church!
what kind of pot?
A crock pot.
No, I don't believe I know what kind of pot that is.
He looks like a big boy, and that's something you would have said,
oh,
too.
Oh, I definitely would.
I am a big boy.
Mariah, you can take off the blindfold now and tell us if this is Miss Chicken Pesto.
Yes, it's a hair!
What a ball of joy you are. Oh,
that's amazing!
The time is now! The place is here! And the whole wide world is filled with cheers!
On August the 8th, Bogish was debating whether he was going to be able to make my wedding, because he may have had a Delaware Blue Hens football game. This got us into quite a tizzy here on the show. Bogish was going to miss the DA show's royal wedding because he had a Delaware Blue Hens college football game. This led to a lot of introspection, a lot of debate, and it led to Mraz giving the kiddo a career day. It's number 7 of the 12 DAs.
Number 7.
You riddled his career with bullet
holes. Well, yes, because he should be a lot further along based on the talent he has now than he is.
You said to give up play-by-play.
Well, because if it's going to start affecting things like missing weddings and big functions, and when he's closing in on 40, well, I got news for you. It ain't happening, kiddo. You move on, you do something else with your life. Bogus, I have asked you, how many times have you done a big game for whatever outlet you're working for? I go, Bogus, we would love to play some of this in soundcheck. And I say, can you produce the tapes? Well, you need a subscription here to get... You don't even know how to get your own tapes to us to play highlights. So how are you even getting them out to the right people?
Because I can
your career
guess,
sucks.
Because I can get them out not the next morning when you need them.
Well, that's a big issue. You're going about your career all wrong here, kiddo.
Okay, thanks, Sean.
It's just time to either rethink this thing or give it up. I said it to your face.
Thank you.
And how much you get paid for those Fordham games? Monopoly money?
No, it's real money.
Yeah. Enough to get, you know, a drive-thru on the way home.
And the tolls.
You don't feel any remorse, though, for trashing Bogish's aspirations.
You know what? No. Because maybe it's time that this beautiful father of two, nice married man, always the friendly guy, had a little reality check and somebody threw. How many times is this guy going to be pampered by all his loved ones, by everybody who works here? You're so great. You're on a great path. And next thing you know, you're dead in a casket and you've accomplished nothing. Come on,
Bogus. Wait, so now I'm dying?
Either hire an agent or you're going to be 70 looking back going, I never became Jack Buck. Well,
dude,
pick one.
I'm well aware of what's staring me in the face right now. I don't need you telling me that.
Well,
because
somebody...
Because you're doing Saturday nights here because the huge show's on vacation.
I make it the huger show. If not me, whom? Who, Bogus?
Me. I don't need you.
I'm clearly nobody's
listen,
doing it because you're going to miss the Ace wedding.
I'm perfectly capable of ruining my own mind in the things that are not getting done. You should come visit me. I get in the personal hell sometimes when I listen to these idiots doing games who I think I'm better than, but they're working all over the place.
I mean, Bogus,
I don't need your help in this area.
Bogus, I got Jason Kutcher week 15 doing Bengals-Vikings, and you're sitting there, you know, Fordham playing Richmond on a Wednesday night in front of six people. Something's not right. You're not going about your career the right way.
Listen,
and the end result is what you're going to try to do. You're going to miss the A's wedding? Come on.
With all of your talents and all of your energy and all of your intelligence, get a law degree and be my agent on top of everything else.
You know I don't have the ethics to put in school. I am what I am. But at least I'm an honest observer.
Oh, man. Shredding Bogus's career. August the 8th. Wow. That's so brutal. That is such a Mortal Kombat finish him. You just went after him with every haymaker. And it's amazing because that was a spillover from a PGP. The PGP started the whole thing, and then that's what spilled over onto the air. Do you feel at least a little guilty about that? Any regret?
Yes and no. When I heard the dead in a casket and you didn't become Jack Buck, in hindsight, I could have handled that better. There were a few words I wish I had back. My ultimate theme of the rant, I don't regret. Some of the words I used, I do regret. I've matured since August, and, you know, Bogus is not here. I'd like to sincerely apologize. I shouldn't have put you in a personal hell, and that was wrong of me.
Bogus, just stewing over these bozos that get play-by-play gigs, and here is Mraz lecturing him, destroying his hopes and dreams. Give it up. Give it up. You're going to be dead in a casket and never having been Jack Buck. I got Justin Kutcher on week 15, and you're calling Fordham Richmond in front of six people.
I mean, that was pretty accurate. Although, I'd have to, we are at week 15. I don't know if Kutcher got a game.
Oh, just absolute brutality here on the show. When we come back here on the show, was holding out Big Ben Roethlisberger on Sunday during the loss to the Oakland Raiders the final straw for Mike Tomlin? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Yeah, you like that, big boy?
How long have D.A. and Marash known each other?
Yeah, the network, yeah.
Oh, so they have been working together that long?
From January of 13.
Okay.
Of 12.
That explains a lot, okay.
Well, why? What do you mean by that?
I mean, just like how that whole thing, the dynamic of that whole thing over there.
Right, yeah, of course. They've been working together for a while now.
Right.
D.A. on CBS Sports Radio.
It's one way to put it. 40 minutes past the hour. Thanks for being with us. D.A. with you here on CBS Sports Radio. There's so many different ways you can listen to the show on your phone. You can listen to us using the CBS Sports app, the radio.com app, or Apple Music. You can also watch the simulcast at watchda.com. Our toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Daryl tweets, looking back at this 12-day of Christmas, it's a shame that Bogus is calling high school women's lacrosse while Jason Witten calls Monday Night Football. Hashtag get him out. Look, you're not wrong. Now, Jason Witten had a 15-year Hall of Fame career for one of the most popular franchises on the planet. So, from a Q rating standpoint, Witten is deserving of a large platform. From an actual X's and O's standpoint, Bogus is a way better broadcaster.
Get him out.
Way better. And this is now going to be a real discussion. Does ESPN blow up the Monday night booth after year one? Tessitore, Booger, Witten. Mraz, out of those three, who do they bring back? They bring back all three, two of three, one of three.
I think they bring them all back, but Booger's out of the spaceship.
They put him just flat out in the booth.
Put him in the booth. I think they want stability. I don't think they're making another change right away. They're giving him a second year, but they'll make an alteration to the broadcast itself.
How about this? They move Booger into Witten's role, don't have a Booger, and put Witten in studio.
How about that?
I don't hate it because ultimately I think Witten will be better in studio where it's kind of preconceived, but Witten
does not need to be reacting to what is happening in front of him. He can't think or speak that fast. He's not nimble verbally, and he doesn't know how to explain what is going on the field of play. And so he gets caught in his own words. He gets caught in space, and he's not really describing anything that's of interest. I think you put him in studio, and you say, okay, Jason Witten, prepare for this segment. We'll be talking about John DeFilippo here, okay? Prepare for this segment. We're going to be talking about Patrick Mahomes here. And he can do that. And then you just let Booger be the color analyst.
I agree with you. On the surface, or even deeper, that is probably the best idea to go. I just don't think they would be willing to admit that Witten, you know, if you will, was a disaster. Because I think ultimately they still think that Witten will get better. So you're going to demote the guy right away?
He's a weekly punchline. Everybody in the industry.
He's aware he's a weekly punchline. I agree with you. I don't find him compelling at all. But you got to give the guy more than a year, don't you?
Well, it's not that he's not compelling.
What are you going to put him in?
It's that he's a bad broadcaster. Like,
can't you become a better broadcaster?
You can.
And this is why he should have started as the fifth team on Fox or something like that and worked his way up.
Obviously. If he was doing, you know, Raiders-Cardinals 4:25 Eastern time on Fox, then he can go through all of his problems and nobody's going to notice. But you can't do that on Monday Night Football. He's not good fundamentally at speaking, and that's a problem. And I don't say that lightly. That is a problem. Say what you will about John Gruden. He was a caricature. He was a clown at times. But he's good at public speaking. You've got to be somewhat good at public speaking. And Jason Witten is, by all accounts, very bad at it. I would agree, maybe they don't want to admit a loss here after just year one. But every week, they're getting skewered. Every week, Witten says something else that's stupid. And to be honest, if Jason Witten was working alongside Andrew Bogish, doing Delaware Blue Hens football games, he'd be more at his level than doing Monday Night Football. He's closer, what I'm saying, to Delaware Blue Hens football with Bogish than he is to Monday Night Football.
I completely agree with that. Now, I will give you two things that will determine your factor. Number one, how bad is Witten spotlight the brightest that Saturday 4:30 Eastern wildcard game? When everybody's watching, if Witten's a disaster in Houston, you know, with the Texans playing, I'm sure, in that wild card game, that could sign the slip to him to the studio. Number two, Greg Olsen retiring off this foot injury, because Greg Olsen's been talked about in the broadcast booth, and is he the tight end that kind of slips in and bumps Witten out? Maybe Olsen joins Booger and Tess.
Okay, so ESPN slides Greg Olsen in, hoping nobody notices.
basically.
We got another big white tight end for the 2000s, right? But he hasn't even noticed.
He's been attached to a lot of the broadcasting stuff, right. So I could totally see that happening. But, man, if I had to say today, I think it is the same booth next year, but we're putting Booger out of the contraption.
Pete, the body, do they bring back all three, 2 of 3, 1 of 3?
I think they bring back all three, and I agree. I think it's going to be a three-person booth, and I think it would help a guy like Witten to have Booger with him in the booth. He might be able to feed off of that energy, and it might inspire him a little bit to and might help him get a little better.
It's fair.
You have to give it a try in a second year. If I'm making that call, I'm giving it a try in a second year. And then if not, I cut my losses after the second year.
Jason Witten is climbing into Eric Dickerson territory, where you're like, wow, this guy doesn't actually know how to, like, verbally explain his thoughts on the only thing he should know. I mean, the only thing Jason Witten should know is explaining football. He's just not very good with words. The whole words thing is bad.
All right, how about ESPN rips up the contract. They go to get him out,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
They hire Greg Olsen. Does CBS make a move on Witten, put him as a three-man booth with Nance and Romo, where he's comfortable with a Tony Romo?
You can't put him on a number one team. You just can't. Now you can put him...
But Romo's the key there.
Mm-mm. Can't do it. You just can't do it. You cannot trust him in the AFC Championship game. There's no way. That's also a Super Bowl booth. Could you imagine Witten in the Super Bowl? Uh-uh. No. Who's the sixth team on CBS?
Andrew Cattle?
No.
He's four now?
If you,
Spiro?
I think there's
Spiro and a Lofton?
No, that's Catalan's with Lofton. I think there's...
This team's all over the place.
I think there's two teams under that. On Fox, you put Dick Stockton and Witten together, and you let them call, you know, Niners-Cardinals, and let Witten work through it.
Little Chris Myers and Witten?
Yes. There you go.
Maybe just Beth Mowins and Witten two times a year?
Those are the types of broadcasts he needs. And then, you know, let him do some college football. Him do a Delaware game with Bogish.
So Catalan's the fifth team. Spiro and Archuleta are the sixth team. Because you got to remember, you got a Nance Romo, an Eagle Fouts, a Harlan Gannon, and a Gumbel Green Arians.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. Okay.
Sounds like a law firm.
So with Ben Roethlisberger over the weekend, you have him apparently back and healthy, ready to go on the sideline, but the Steelers end up holding him out. And they have Josh Dobbs out there playing. Dobbs basically stinks. The Raiders have the lead. And now you're in, oh crap, we're losing to the Raiders, and we've already lost two games in a row, and this is really bad. And that's when Tomlin goes back to Ben Roethlisberger. Why Tomlin admits after the game that Roethlisberger was ready to go in, could have gone in, but they held him out because of the rhythm and the flow of the game, is inexplicable. And it has created more problems than it's worth. That Roethlisberger could have gone back in, but he didn't go back in. So either it was he was banged up and injured and worried he would get re-injured, fine, or it was, we think we can beat the Raiders without Roethlisberger so that he doesn't risk more injury, fine. Or it is, he's banged up right now, we're waiting for the pain meds to kick in, okay. But whatever it is, do not say that. Because now, once you lose, it becomes DEFCON 4. So Tomlin admits they waited to bring in Roethlisberger. When Roethlisberger finally comes in, he goes right down the field and leads them to a go-ahead touchdown. And now everybody's wondering, why would Tomlin admit that? And is this the end for Mike Tomlin? Here is Ben Roethlisberger.
The team kind of said, when I say the team, you know, it's Colbert, it's everybody, was kind of like, you know, let's let this thing play out, because I think it was still the unknown of the injury. I think what they were probably worried about is making it worse, right? Because we didn't know what the injury was.
They also said, that was Roethlisberger on 93.7, the Fan in Pittsburgh, also said that they were waiting on some report from the x-ray machine in Oakland, and because it was dated equipment, they weren't getting the information in time. It took them longer than they would have thought. Here's the bit when it comes to Tomlin, the future, the present, and the Steelers. Mike Tomlin, unlike Jason Witten, is very nimble with words. He is confident. He has ideas and thoughts. He explains them well, and he's fearless in front of a podium or a microphone. He has a big personality, a lot of charisma. And he is very confident, fearless. And so he gets up there, and he sticks out his chin, and he says, blame it on me, and he's too transparent. Way too transparent. And I think that ends up hurting the Steelers. That can be a strength, but that can be a weakness. I think, yes, Tomlin gives off the vibe of a leader you would trust, because he is willing to kind of stick his chin out there and be fearless and not be overly conservative and what have you. But it also comes back to bite you, because you create more problems than it's worth. Mike Tomlin, I think, because of his fearlessness behind a microphone, doesn't care if he gives too much information. But TMI is bad here. It's really bad. You don't even have to admit that. You could just say, look, we were still trying to get the read on Ben and he wasn't ready to go in. Don't say he was ready and we waited. He was ready, but we just didn't want to put him back in. Don't say that if you lose this football game. And this, I think, has led to a locker room of loose lips in Pittsburgh. I think they all just kind of take this idea that, yeah, we can talk about everything. And so that's why the Steelers talk about everything. They talk about who likes who and who doesn't like Le'Veon Bell's contract, and who doesn't like the holdout, and who doesn't like their playing time, and who doesn't like the touches, and who doesn't like the coaches, and who doesn't like the offensive coordinator. I mean, Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, the offensive line. Go down the list. Everybody talks over there. Everybody. And I think that stems from the head coach, and this is where you see it jamming them up. People have asked me since that happened, do I think that Mike Tomlin gets fired after the season? It is on the table if they miss the playoffs, because this is a team that was supposed to be yet again a Super Bowl contender and found themselves at 7-3-1 and in the mix for a bye. They're on a 3-game losing streak. They've got the Patriots and the Saints next up. It is on the table that the Pittsburgh Steelers miss the playoffs. It is on the table that they end up this season at 8-7-1, miss the playoffs, the Ravens hop them in the division, and then they're home in January saying, how the hell did that go all wrong? And Tomlin's snafu with admitting that Roethlisberger was ready to go and he held him out is going to be held against him as, see, the moment it got too big or it got away from him. He couldn't stop the bleeding. And a little bit like Mike McCarthy, yes, you've won a Super Bowl. Yes, you've been there a long time. Yes, there's been a lot of winning. But at some point, it runs aground. At some point, the tenure runs its course. It's in play, but I don't think they're going to fire Mike Tomlin. And here's why. History. In my lifetime, they've never fired a head coach. Chuck Knoll retired. Now, maybe that was a slight nudge, because by the end, Knoll was not nearly as effective. But Chuck Knoll coached this franchise for 20 years, from the late 60s to the late 80s, really early 90s, so 25 years. Chuck Knoll retired, Bill Cowher retired, and now there's Mike Tomlin. And Mike Tomlin ain't retiring. This will be the first coach they fire, officially fire, since the late 60s. The next coach they fire will be the first coach they fire since the late 60s. Does that sound probable? Does that sound likely? It doesn't to me. If they have stood by Tomlin after other busted seasons, after losing to the Jaguars last year, after consistently losing to the Patriots, I got a tough time believing they're not going to do it again. Yes, this feels like ground zero for the moment Tomlin couldn't get it back, and maybe they lose the next two games, they miss the playoffs, and finally you say, look, that can't happen and Tomlin's gone. But that means history will have been made in Pittsburgh, that they will finally fire a head coach. And I'm just not willing to put my money on that. When we return, are the Seahawks better without Richard Sherman?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.